I'd like to welcome each one of you. Thank you for being here. I'm going to be real honest with you. I'm surprised to see so many people here. I thought, well, there'd be two or three, you know, come in. It's good to have you here. My name, some of you I know and are friends with, but my name is James Ogan. I'm an evangelist from Shelnau, Missouri, on the Missouri Baptist Evangelist. And this is Diana Edwards. She's a music evangelist from
Mountain Grove.
And so you're welcome, and we're glad to have you folks here. Let's just have a real quick word of prayer as we start. Blessed Heavenly Father, God, we thank you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you that you first loved us. And I pray now, Lord, as we begin this session, God, that you'll speak to our hearts. Father, I pray that you'll give Diana and I the words, the music, that which you would have us to say. And Father, open our hearts to you. Speak to us in a mighty way. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
We were going to have a... Where do I put this? Where am I going to put this? Okay, just a second. Hopefully they're not... If I just carry it, can I just lay it here? They ought to pick me up. I'm going to get closer to my music when we get ready. Are we recording now? Okay. Well, I am excited to be here, and we were going to do a PowerPoint today with two songs, and wires got crossed up. I sang yesterday for the evangelism part of the conference, and he thought those were the songs I needed then, and so he did not have them for this session. And so we don't have PowerPoint, but I'm sure you use PowerPoint in your church, and so I apologize for that. So we were going to sing with the PowerPoint, and so we're just going to what you would call wing it and sing as if we were in a Gaither concert or at our home in the living room. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Smile, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. I was blind, but now thank you so much for that power presentation that you just made. I'm a PK. I gave birth to two pastors' wives. So they were watching my life pretty close in my worship. And I'm a deer hunter, turkey hunter, a cardinal fan. I love that. But most of all, a prayer warrior. I didn't go to college. I didn't get a degree because I met a young man in my life when I got saved at 13. Let me back up. I got to starting to sing and to feel the call to Jesus when I was 9 years old. I started singing solos in church. That music, that worship drew me as a child to Christ. I wanted to sing every time I could get a chance to sing. And I was really nervous because I really didn't know the author of those songs. I didn't know Jesus till I was 13. And when I got 13, I was saved during a revival when they were singing, "Let others see Jesus in you." You know it? Let others see Jesus in you. Keep telling the story. Be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you. You know, I love all music that sings about Jesus. But if you leave those hymns out, that's just sad, because I like the new things. I like the new choruses. But a lot of our people, the younger generation, do not know the hymns. And that's where you really cut your teeth into the wood of the Lord and to know. But my only degree, and I don't apologize for that, because when I was 14, I met a young boy that would go down the aisle almost every invitation time. And I thought, what'd he do wrong? Why is he going almost every Sunday down front to pray? And I, as a 14-year-old, I was looking at it that he'd done something wrong. God was calling him. But I liked that boy, and I really prayed for that boy. I could have written the book on true love waits and all those things, and I just didn't know it. But I was exercising all that from my Lord. And so I just kept praying for that boy, because he had another girl, and I didn't like her with him. So I just kept praying. Sitting there in church, I'd say, Lord, now that man is going to be for me. Just move her on out of the way. I liked her, but I didn't want her to get him, because I really had my eye on him. I knew I was young, but when I was 16 and we were dating, I couldn't go out till I was 16 with him. And I'm glad I had parents that watched over me. But when I was 16, this young man told me, he said, I need to tell you a secret, but you can't tell anybody. I may have to preach someday. And I thought, yes, because I like to sing. We'll make a good team. And we got married when I was 18. He was getting out of college when I was getting out of high school. So I got married very young. And I wanted to support him. And so I never went to college, but I'm telling you, I got a degree from the Lord that will stand right up next to any degree. I don't get paid for what I do, but that's okay. God will reward me someday, and I want to lay that at his feet. I am so thankful that God, through worship, led me as a 13-year-old when I got saved to just before I got to the age to try to experiment with all those things that are in the world. Jesus kept me from never drinking alcohol. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never cussed. My kids, when they got teenagers and would hear it at school and they come home, Mama, we've never heard you say those words. Could you come on? Just please say one cuss word. We've never heard you say one. I said, I'm not doing it. I may lose my mind someday and do it, but that's how much Jesus has meant to me, is that I wanted to please him. And I've only been with one man in my life. And my kids, when I would leave youth camp, would say, oh, come on, you know you've been with more than one man. No, I didn't. I saved myself. And I wish we could get back to the basics of doing that, because it's just robbing our young people, of doing the wrong things. But I've worshiped God and didn't know that when I was worshiping, he was calling me into evangelism. I always felt just a little peculiar, like I was too much of a Jesus fan for some people. And I didn't know why, that they didn't want anything to do with me because they thought I was too much about Jesus. But that's what God called me to be. And I don't mind it. And, you know, my own daughter, I got saved on a song, but I was practicing a song. And I was singing, Jesus, we just want to thank you. And my little girl sitting out there, 6 years old, ran down the aisle. Church was nobody there but the pianist and I. Wrapped her arm around my leg and was pulling on me. And you know how you try to get a kid off of you. And I said, go sit down, Lori. Go sit down. She wouldn't quit crying. I practiced the song. We were walking across to the parsonage, and I said, why are you crying? She said, Mama, I came up there and grabbed your leg because I wanted to get saved right then. And I thought, you know, worship, it's just not about the preaching. It's about the music. It's about the singing that stirs the soul and does that. I led the Missouri Baptist Secretaries Conference this year, and I led on stress, and I did all the PowerPoint music I was going to do today. And a lady came up to me and she said, I've got so much stress and I didn't know how to get rid of it. But I led a breakout session and I told her, just drop it. Just drop the stress. Whatever's pulling you down, drop it. Just get over it. And she came to me later and just hugged me and she said, "You can't know the burden that's been lifted. I almost feel like I got saved again." And I'm like, you know, Satan really tries to rob us of those things. My greatest interest right now is working in prayer ministry, because that's where Satan is trying to rob our prayer ministry. And there wasn't one in our church, so I started that prayer ministry. And it's been awesome to see people that would call and say, "Miss Diana, can you help me quit smoking?" And I'm like, there's another thing. I never smoked a cigarette in my life. How am I going to help her to quit smoking? I said, just get closer to Jesus. The closer you get to Jesus, can you see a cigarette hanging out his mouth? And she's like, oh, okay. And that's kind of some of the things that, you know, God's given me to share with people, is to be like Christ. If you don't like the worship music in your church, don't complain about it. Pray about it. And there's such a difference. We have two services. One's contemporary and one's blended. And I sit through all of them. I go at 8 o'clock in the morning and I don't get home till 12:30 in the afternoon, because I don't want to choose a congregation and show partiality as the pastor's wife. So I'm trying to do that. I'll tell you how God will change your life when you have a desire to want to be changed. If you have a desire for your church worship to be changed, you just go to your pastor. And some of you, how many pastors we have in here? We've got a few. Go, you others, go to your pastor and just encourage him and tell him you are praying about the worship service. Because one person can come in with an ill spirit and just hinder that worship service. But here's another thing. Obedience is wonderful in a worship service. I've left many times from the church service to just go to the bathroom and get on my knees and pray for that person on the back row that's done everything in the world. But you know what I tell them? Some people say, "I don't come to your church because of so-and-so." And I said, you know what? God wants the good, the bad, and the ugly there. Which one are you? And you need to be there with them so that you can rub off on them instead of them rubbing off on you. But God changed me totally in my worship when I went to the Holy Land and my husband baptized me in the Jordan River. I come up by that river shouting and probably scared those Jewish people to death. And our bus driver was not of our faith. And he just said, "I knew you'd get excited." He wasn't going to come for my baptism. And I could tell in my heart I was going to come up from that water being changed. You know, I'd been baptized in the church, but just standing in the water Jesus stood in changed my life. The words mean so much different when I sing now. But 10 months ago, I didn't think I'd have the opportunity to do this because I almost died. I've never been out of control, but I lost consciousness with an E. coli infection that was in my blood, and I didn't know I'd gone down, but I mean, I went down. And I heard them talking about how bad I was, and I heard them talking about if we take her for an angiogram, she's got so much E. coli in her, it will shove the E. coli to her heart and she will die. And I'm hearing this, and I'm like, okay, Jesus, I've never needed you at my bedside. I'm always praying for you to go to somebody else's bedside, because I love to go and sing to people that are dying. I love to watch their faces as they hear a song as they leave here and go to heaven. But I love to do that. Just before I come to do something as I'm doing now, I always ask God for a fresh testimony. Here's what he said. There's some people here that you need to talk to them about Jesus. And God's blessed me, and it's about him, not me. He's just using me because I'm alive now, and it's even more powerful that I'm going to be used. I led 3 Catholic ladies to the Lord, and they are coming to the Baptist church sitting on the pew with me. Now, they still have the Catholic in them, because they'll come to the altar and do their little whatever, you know, and they'll call and say, "What time's Mass?" And I'm like, whatever, whatever you want to call it, but we just baptized one. Oh my, that was sweet. She's telling everybody, "Come to my immersion baptism." That's what she called it. And I'm like, man, we need to be out there. You watch the clock for me, because I'm probably doing all mine at one time, and then I'll be through and you can do the rest. I just got to go. 3 marriages were in trouble before I came. I asked God to help them. And boy, they split up and were separated, and it got really bad and ugly. And I finally just told him, I said, "You know what? You're too old to be fighting. Do you want to date again at your age? Get over it. Get back together." And they got together just before I came. That is so exciting. Now, I have some goals. I want to write some books. Can you tell I'm excited about living again? Because I thought I was clocking out, and I'm going to write a book about giving birth to two pastors' wives. Could you believe I did not know my girls were watching me that close, but they said, Mama, we want to marry a man like Dad because we've watched you take care of him and what you do for a preacher that's your husband, and we want to do that. And they were both at different times that told me that. So pray for your children. It works. I want to write how to stay faithful. You can stay faithful in this wicked world. You can be forgiven for your past and then just stay faithful. I mean, just get right back up if you've fallen down some in an area. And then I'm going to write a book about my buddy and me. Lost my dog about 8 weeks ago and been with me 15 years. Most loyal thing I've ever had in my life. I love my husband, but many times I'd hear him say, I think you love that dog more than me. Well, it was just really precious because he wouldn't get out of my sight. He stayed with me constantly, and I'm glad he did. But I love to do what I am doing right now, is to lead conferences and see people's lives changed. When you can sing, and God blessed me to see a retired Marine come to church that hadn't known the Lord, and his wife told him, said, you need to come to church. There's no preaching today. No offense, preachers. There's no preaching, but some lady's been asked to come and sing. So it was me, and I was there, and I watched him on the back row, and I did. We want America back. Didn't know he was a retired Marine. It got in his heart, and he came down. The church was very cold when I got up to do the worship that morning, and I thought, man, I can't wait to get out of this church. They are dead. But when that man and his wife came down that aisle, I mean, something happened, and I didn't know what was going on. Then another couple came forward, and she was a Mormon, and both of them got saved. And I said, what led you to Christ? And he said, when you sung that song, We Want America Back. And I'm like, praise God. Where are the men that will stand up for what's right? It is so exciting to watch God do something that people had given up on. They didn't think he'd ever come to church, but he did that day. Because I had a lot of people praying for whatever I go to do, I have a group that prays for me, and that works. It just really does. There's no one like Jesus. I have a brochure that if you want to go and pick up one of these here today, it'll have a website on there, a blog that you can go and read more about me than you want. There's a deer story on there. But there's no one like Jesus. I'm going to do this old song. Whoops. Can you turn it up? There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one. Sorry. No, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. Aren't you glad he will provide till the day is done? There's not a friend like holy Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Did ever saint find this friend, forsake him? No, not one. He's there. No, not one. Or sinner find that he would not take him? No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No, not one. No, not one. All worship with me now. There's no one like you, Lord, no one like you. Where is he? You've always been there when I've needed you most. There's no one, no one like you. It's all about Jesus. There's no one like you. Oh, Jesus, I love you. There's no one like you. He's wanting to do something for you today. You've always been there when I've needed you most. There's no one, Jesus, no one like you. No, not one. You're the only one, Jesus. No, not one. Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Thank you, sister. One of the reasons that I was glad to be able to work with this lady, I've known her for quite a few years. I couldn't tell you how many. But she always worships in her music. And because of that, you can see Jesus Christ. We saw that. She's one of the examples, I think, today of what it is that we're talking about. And so, sister, I thank you. You did a great job. You know what? God doesn't need PowerPoint.
That's right.
Amen. You touched our hearts. He touched our hearts through you, so, and it was very good. You know, it's amazing to me when we have a problem with electronics. And many of us today, which are out of warranty, like myself, if you want to get somebody to work it for you, you pick the youngest person in the room, and they don't have to look at it. They just go up and do it. You know, we'd be there examining that thing. And so, brother, we thank you for doing that for us today, and thank you so much. What I'd like to do today, I'm going to talk, I'm going to try to hold that down. As a preacher, it's kind of hard to not say too much, but I want to tell you like Elizabeth Taylor told her last husband, I'll try not to keep you too long. If you have your Bibles with you, if you would open it to the book of Psalms in chapter 40, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3, and then probably 10 and a little bit on 4. But I'm not going to stay too long, and we'll read that in just a minute. I've just given you some warning so you'll have it open there. What I'd like to do today is take a brief look at evangelism through worship. Now, I realize that there are several ways to worship, but today I would like to look for just a little bit specifically at worship through the medium of Christian music. And as I look around, I know some here that do music, and so you know what I'm talking about. Now, what I want to share with you today isn't something I don't think you know. Listen, preaching to the choir, or I am preaching to the choir today. It's not that I don't think you know it. It's just there's some things I think we need to be reminded of from time to time. And as I prepared this breakout session, I went through the book of Psalms, and I found out the word used there for worship means to bow down or to prostrate oneself in homage to God. In the New Testament, when I looked that up, there's more than one, but generally speaking, worship means to prostrate oneself or do reverence. And then, of course, I looked at Mr. Noah Webster's book, and there I found out worship, he says, is an act or a ceremony showing reverence. So in each case, then, what would appear to me is that worship is to lift up and glorify someone who is to be placed far above us. And then, folks, in the rest of the Word of God, the Holy Bible, there we're told who we're to worship. who we were to lift up. And that is someone is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you happen to notice in the flyer that they gave you when you came, two of the verses that I mentioned there, we're told in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 that we are to worship through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. I think most of us would agree today that Christian music is a very, very important part of our worship. Amen. It's extremely important to us. Not only in our church service, but I think maybe also in our private spiritual lives as well. And I realize, as a pastor, as a preacher that I've been, I realize that music is, I don't believe, the most important part of the worship service. I truly believe that's reserved for the preaching of the truth of God's holy word. But at the same time, I believe that Scripture very plainly shows us that it's a very important part of the preparation of minds and hearts to hear from the Lord and to worship the Lord and then to witness for the Lord. In this music, sister, we saw you witness for the Lord. And that's what it should be. Colossians 3:16, the Bible says we're to be teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to who? To the Lord. To the Lord. You know, folks, one of the things I've discovered over the years, and that is that my heart has got to be right with God before I can effectively sing or preach or witness or praise or do anything else that the Lord has for me to do. I found out when I get up in the morning, if I'll just start my day by praising God and worshiping Him and listening to Him, going to Him in prayer, then and just let Him, then take a moment and let Him speak to me, then my day just seems to go better. I used to tell people that this was one of my favorite prayers, but it's not. It's my most necessary prayer. Lord, help me keep my big mouth shut. The hardest thing to do is to sit and wait and let the Lord speak to our hearts. My day just always go better when I started off that way. When I go to the Lord first in the day, I just start my day off with a song in my heart. And beloved, when you have a song in your heart from the Lord, you know what? It seems like the things most likely to come out of your mouth will speak of God's goodness and God's grace and His love toward us through His blessed Son, Jesus Christ. As I said before, listen, I don't think this is something you don't know. But in my years as an evangelist and as my time spent pastoring folks, I found out that sometimes we can get so busy serving the Lord and working for the Lord that we don't take time for the Lord. Does that sound right? I mean, pastors here, you know what I mean? You can get so busy, so many things going that your time just gets taken away from you. We can get so busy working for the Lord and serving Him that we don't take time to really cry out. We don't take time. We don't seem like we don't have it, but we have to take it. We don't take time for our personal prayer and worship and fellowship with God. And that's where we have got to start. And really, let me tell you something. That's the only place our strength comes from. It's from our Lord. Now, what I'd like to do, I had you open your Bibles to Psalm, but I'd like to look at the Old Testament for just a moment and look at some of the words of David written down here and use this for an example in a vital area of worship and evangelism in our Christian lives. Now, if you look with me at verses 1 through 3, there the Word of God says, David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put in me, listen to this, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And many shall see it and shall fear and shall trust in the Lord. I like that. If we look at verse 1 there for a moment, David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He heard my cry. Evidently, he had cried out to the Lord. He said He heard my cry. I wonder today, do we really cry out to the Lord before we do things? Do we really cry out to Him and ask Him to guide us and to direct us as we begin each day, each thing we do? Or do we just kind of jump into the day in our own strength, with our own agendas from maybe the day before, not really taking time to consider exactly what it is that God would have us to do or exactly how it is that God would have us to do it? And when we do cry out to the Lord, do we patiently wait for the Lord to speak for us to us? Do we patiently wait for that small, still voice? Or we just kind of jump up from our knees and say, okay, Lord, that's my plan. Now, I want you to bless it. Thanks for the time. Catch you later. Now, folks, that's it. We get in such a hurry with things today. I tell people my philosophy is this. I'm from Shell Knob. It's kind of we do have a flashing yellow light that we put in the school a couple of years ago. That's about the size of it. Like one guy said, we live so far from town that it's 15 minutes to town by phone. See, that's a ways out there. My philosophy is if you feel like getting in a hurry, then just sit down until the urge passes. Folks, and that's the way it ought to be with the Lord. No matter what else we have to do, we have got to learn to take time for the Lord. Beloved, we're told that David cried out unto the Lord, and then he patiently waited for the answer. And because he waited for that answer patiently, he could say in verse 2, he brought me up. See, he took the time. And the Lord brought him up. We say, well, Brother James brought him up from what? Well, we're told, out of a horrible pit. Verse 3 says, and out of the miry clay. Now, beloved, I'm going to have to confess to you, and I did study, but I'm going to confess to you, I don't know just exactly which trials and tribulations and tests that Brother David here was talking about. But I do know that so often when we're trying to serve the Lord and live our lives from Him, that everything in the world just seems to go wrong. And in the pressures of this old world, just I think Satan sees to it, the pressures of this old world just come down on us. And in those times, it seems like that the walls are just caving in. And Satan is putting opposition or problems in our paths at every turn. And at those times, it can seem like we're in a horrible pit. A pit with miry clay in the bottom that just keeps on, kind of like quicksand, just keeps on pulling us down. Miry clay on the walls that seems like it's impossible for us to get a handhold or a foothold on to help us climb out. And these are the times when we are to cry out to the Lord and then wait patiently for the Lord. We wait with the assurance in our heart that He will hear our cry and still our hearts, and He will make us a way. He'll make us a way. In those times, if we'll just learn to be patient, the Bible says here that the Lord will set our feet upon a rock, and He will establish our goings. He'll give us the right way. How many times we say, Lord, I don't have a clue what I'm supposed to do here. Will you lead me? Folks, if we'll cry out to Him and wait patiently, He'll show us the way. He'll establish our goings. You see, David cried out to the Lord, and he waited on the Lord. David got his heart right with God, and because of that, he could say in verse 3, look there, he says, He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Ephesians 5:19, we're told to speak to ourselves in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Pastor friend of mine said that worship is opening yourself up to the Lord and then praising Him. And folks, when we do this, we see that in the last part of verse 3, we're told that many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. The result of our crying out to Him and then waiting on Him will be to He will establish our goings. Beloved, for us to truly evangelize, our hearts have got to be so connected to the Lord that those who join us in worship won't just see an entertainer or hear a person with a good voice. Folks, they'll see Jesus. And they'll fear and they'll trust in the Lord. You see, the whole point of everything we do should be to lead people to Jesus Christ, to point Jesus to Jesus Christ. I don't care what our ministry is, if it doesn't have as its end in glorifying God and bringing people to Jesus Christ, we're wasting our time. We're spinning our wheels. And beloved, some of the songs that have most touched my heart over the years weren't always sang by the people with the most beautiful voices. Wasn't always sang by the people with the most school-trained, highly qualified voices. Folks, it was those that the Lord had touched with a sweet spirit, put a song in their heart. Those that when they sang, you could just see Jesus. You could just feel the presence of the Lord. One old-time preacher said that if only the birds with the most beautiful voices sang, this world would be an awful quiet place. Now, beloved, I like spirited music. I mean, I pretty much like all kinds. I'm not saying that any kind is exactly the right kind, but you can look at me and tell most likely I like the older songs, but I like some of the new ones. The thing is, they have to speak of Jesus. That's the requisition right there. They've got to tell us about the Lord. When we worship in music, they have got to have a point, and that point has to be Jesus Christ. Like I say, I like spirited music. I like spirited singers. I know there's a brother sitting back here. I love their music, and they really have some spirit in it sometimes. And most, well, always, but there's just some that really touch my heart. But you see, it's not the spirit of the singer that does the witnessing and the evangelizing. It is the Spirit of God in the singer that does it. And beloved, if that's not there, it's not worship, it's not evangelism, it is nothing but a performance. And beloved, our purpose is not entertainment, but our entertainment does have a purpose. We don't have a song worth singing if God don't put that song in our hearts any more than we have a testimony if God doesn't give us something to testify about. Look with me down, if you would please, at verse 10 for a moment. Verse 10, here we're told that because of a right relationship with God, David could say, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Beloved, when you got a song in your heart and you worship the Lord with that song, people around are going to get the message of Jesus Christ, because that's what God's going to put in there. Verse 4, if you look up there just a minute, we didn't mention that one, but it says, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Let me ask you the questions today. There has to be a point for this speaking, for this music. Let me ask you some questions today. Are you trusting in the Lord? And is there a song in your heart? And if there's a song in your heart, did He put it there? Did He give you a song today? Did you start your day today in God's strength and God's power and God's leading on your life? Or did you start it in your own strength, not giving much thought to the other? Have you allowed Him to put a song in your heart? And if you have, then as you worship Him, we're told in the last part of verse 3 here, many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Beloved, to me, that is a very clear picture of evangelism through worship. Blessed Heavenly Father God, I pray You'll touch our lives and hearts. Father, I pray that You'll help us to look to You, to wait on You, and to listen to You. Speak to us, Father. Strengthen us. God, use us for Your glory and for building Your kingdom. For it's in Jesus, Your precious Son's name, I pray these things. Amen.
Sing with me. God is so good. God is so good. Who? God is. Prayer. He answers prayer. What are you praying about today? He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you really love Him more than anything? More than your dog that I spoke about? More than green beans, pizza? Do you love Him more? But here's the question. What do we spend our time on is what we love the most. Mm-hmm. Folks, I need a housekeeper because I love to serve God so much. I don't have time to clean my house. Let's sing, I love Him so and mean it. I love Him so. I love Him so. I love Him so. He's so good to me. You know, it's wonderful when we can know what God has done for us in the past. But what He's doing for us right now is so important. On your faces, I can see the worship. And that's what we wanted to bring about today, was that we would experience a worship with Christ. And that, you know, sometimes I tell my husband, who's a pastor, I wish we could come to church with blindfolds on, so that we wouldn't see whose hair looks different or who went bald or, you know, who's got clothes on that's, you know, not like we really would like to see them in church in. Because if we could not see the people, how would we worship so differently? Because when we get in our homes, I just love it when I can pull the sheet up over my head and just talk to God. And then I love it when our brother said yesterday he had to be loud with God. I think there's a time where we need to go to the woods. When I got a bad medical report one time, I told my husband, I said, I cried, and I said, now take me to the woods. Of course, I'm a hunter, and I love the woods. But I knew I could be loud in the woods and get with God. So this morning, I hope and pray that you have experienced worship and that your heart is glad. Even though you got up this morning and had to take medicine or whatever for our bodies, you know, it's so easy to complain. But I pray that as we want to experience worship, that we not complain. If others hear us complaining or gossiping or whatever we do that God doesn't want to see us do, we are hindering those people that are watching us. And we don't always know who is watching us. That's why we've got to tell people how good God is. Even though you've had a hospital stay or you've had a death in your family. You know, 22 months ago, my mom died. That was hard because I talked to her every night of the world on the phone because I didn't live near her. But I think it's important that we love our family. And sometimes family is the hardest people to reach. I've got an uncle that is just choosing hell, and every time I go home, I talk to him about it. And he knows it. And I tried to give him Billy Graham's DVD just last week, and he's, no, I don't want that. But I'm not going to give up on him. And so let you carry the love of Jesus and let him shine in you and let you be glad. Can we close with another song? Are we supposed to be out at 11? Huh? Hallelujah. 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 Praise him. If you want to stand, lift your hands. I will praise him. I will praise him. Thank you, Jesus. I will praise him. 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 He is coming. He is coming. He is coming. Get excited, church. He is coming. He is coming. Lord Jesus, come. He is coming. Hallelujah. He is coming. Isn't that right, brother? He is coming. He is coming. Thank you, and you may be seated. My little girl, when she was sick, she would be laying on the couch, and she would say, Mama, why don't Jesus just come? I'm so sick. I don't want to. I just want to go be with him. And I'm like, oh my, a child can teach. Tell you what God has done this morning. I got here, and it was one thing to open my CD that I was going to sing and the track not be in it. And I told my husband in the car, I said, oh my, my song is not here that I was going to do for you all, which was I Bless Your Name. And I said, okay, I'm going to have to look in the car and see if I've got anything I can do. And I had brought this CD that had a lot of tracks on it just to listen to. And I thought, oh, yeah, but I've got to find a music director in this church to get me the lyrics of the word. No, not one. So that got changed. Well, I get in here, and the PowerPoint won't work. They didn't bring it. They told me not to bring mine. And he said, blame him for it. So you're hearing it. But you know what? I know that God wanted whatever he wanted to happen. And I never prayed so hard in all my life. I felt like Satan was about to interfere. And I thought, no, God, you've just changed your plans. I'm not letting Satan, I'm not even going to mention him. But because we will do what God leads us to do. And he did that today. And I hope that you're very happy. I want to close with a really happy song. And if we're not through, we'll just keep singing until we worship. But before we sing the last song, in this group, we're out of time? Okay. If you are needing somebody in this group to just pray for you, we're not going to ask you what it is, but if you have a prayer concern for you and you only, brother and sister, I want to know who you are because I want to lift you up. Is there anybody? Several of you are raising. You look around and see who's got their hands raised. Look at a face. And if you see them anytime the rest of this conference, you tell them you're praying for them. Okay? Here we go. We're going to close. You'll have to lay your books down. This is our last song. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. If you want one of my brochures, pick it up from me and let's go back to the auditorium.
Thank you for coming.